International ski racing officials yesterday canceled two more European events. The reason? Not enough snow. Also scrapped, next month's men's downhill and super combined races in Val d'Isère, the famous French Alps resort. They're the latest on a growing list of weather-related cancellations. Worried ski racers and officials are wondering whether their sport is becoming a victim of global warming.
After the wettest November on record, and that's saying something for a rainy city, Vancouver was hit with a dump of snow, so everything looks hunky-dory for a nice white winter. But it isn't so in Europe, where national ski races and international World Cup ski races have been cancelled due to lack of snow in the European mountains, and the Europeans are placing the blame straight on climate change. We have several reports here for you. First of all, we're going to listen to an NPR, a National Public Radio, short broadcast on the current condition and the latest reports from the New York Times. That will be followed by an interview from Air America Radio with Betsy Rosenberg with the owners of Aspen and how Aspen is coping with climate change. And we'll follow up with a spokesman from Whistler Blackcomb, who will tell us what they are doing about climate change and how they think they will be faring for the 2010 Olympics. This is NPR from December 1st, 2006.
International ski racing officials yesterday canceled two more European events. The reason? Not enough snow. Also scrapped, next month's men's downhill and super combined races in Val d'Isère, the famous French Alps resort. They're the latest on a growing list of weather-related cancellations. Worried ski racers and officials are wondering whether their sport is becoming a victim of global warming.
Scanning the event schedule on the International Ski Federation website is like checking the departure monitor at an airport shut down by stormy weather. Races in Austria, Switzerland, Norway, Italy. Canceled, 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 canceled. Not enough snow, too much rain, and warm temperatures in Europe have officials scrambling to find alternate race sites. And racers, like American Stephen Nyman, asserting that Europe is just part of a global climate problem.
We travel around to Chile, and we're deep in the Andes, and we see these glaciers every year. And we, even being there for 3-4 years, can watch them deplete. Like they're going away, and it's very scary because our love is on the snow.
During a teleconference this week, Nyman was asked whether he thinks the European race cancellations are related to global warming. Definitely, he said. Climatologist Dr. Klaus Walter is a bit more measured.
It's contributing. It's sort of the backdrop, but we're not going to have ski race cancellations and warm falls like this every year.
Because there are other factors at play, says Dr. Walter, who works at the University of Colorado in Boulder. Without getting too technical, there have been, over the past 10 years, natural climate variations specific to Europe. High-pressure systems over the continent have led to warmer summers and falls, says Dr. Walter, but also colder winters, which usually start right about now. If that trend continues and Europe gets some snow, the racing circuit might be able to recover from the current upheaval. Meanwhile, the climate crisis appears to be recasting the ski-hard, party-harder image of alpine ski racers. On the teleconference, Ted Ligety sounded more conservationist than 2006 Olympic gold medalist.
Just bought a new furnace that's 98% efficient, so, I mean, that's a big improvement over most ones that are 70% or whatever. So, I mean, that's big. And then, I mean, just conserving energy around the house, turning off lights, and not just putting the heat on your house at 75 degrees, I mean, little things like that can definitely help.
Stephen Nyman agreed that little deeds can be part of a bigger solution, but he also acknowledged that he and his peers may be part of the problem.
We're staying in hotel rooms, changing the linens, we're flying here and there, and we're driving everywhere. Like we are using amazing amounts of fuel and resources. World travelers, that's a big part of the whole global warming issue.
Of course, canceling races helps cut down on travel. It also threatens skiers' livelihoods. And late yesterday, the immediate outlook was bleak. A plan to relocate some of the canceled European races to Colorado fell through because organizers couldn't raise enough money to put on the events. The irony of that decision? There's easily enough snow. Winter storms have dumped tons of it on Colorado over the past week. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Here we listen to a clip from Betsy Rosenberg's Air America program called EcoTalk. It's a fabulous green program that airs daily on Air America. You can find excerpts from the program on their blog at ecotalkblog.com. Really recommend it. Betsy is talking with Auden Schambler, the expert at the Aspen Skiing Company, the premier company at Aspen.
Well, to answer the question, have we seen the impacts of climate change? There are several studies that are out, scientific studies by some of the best scientists in the field of climate study, and they are showing that our snowpack is going down, our rates of precipitation are dropping, our nighttime and daytime temperatures are increasing. All those studies are available at a website, savesnow.org, and they're all on the bottom of that page. And today, in the New York Times, is an article that's titled, Changing Climate is Forcing World Cup Organizers to Adapt. And what's amazingly interesting about this is that St. Moritz, which is the cradle of skiing probably on the planet, doesn't have enough snow to host the World Cup in December. And temperatures have been too high for them to make snow. So they may have to move the World Cup to, of all places, Aspen, which actually still has snow because we're higher than St. Moritz.
And you recently filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of the state of Massachusetts. Does that have anything to do with what is beginning this week in the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yeah, that's the lawsuit. To back up on that, we started saying, look, let's say we eliminated all the emissions at the ski resort. Actually, let's say we eliminated all the emissions in the entire ski industry. It wouldn't really matter. The climate would still be changing. The ski industry is a really small player in global climate emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, if we really care about change, we're going to have to get politically active, and we're going to have to start using Aspen, which is a name that is recognized all over the place, as a lever to drive change. And so that's why we got involved with this Supreme Court case, which is probably the most important environmental lawsuit ever to go to the Supreme Court. And it's basically asking the EPA to regulate CO2, the primary greenhouse gas, as a pollutant.
So what about Whistler Blackcomb and the upcoming Olympics? Earlier, before he headed out onto the hills, I spoke to Arthur DeJong, who's been the ski patrol manager and the operations manager, and now he's the mountain planning and environment resource manager for Whistler Blackcomb.
The reason I phoned you this morning, this is Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. I do an environment program for CFRO 102.7 Co-op Radio in Vancouver. And I've been listening to radio reports from the United States, in particular an interview with a gentleman who runs the Aspen Complex, talking about his concerns about climate change and about the availability of snow in the future for ski resorts. And at the same time, as we know in Europe, a couple of the World Cup ski races have been canceled due to lack of snow and an unusual season over there. So I was going to ask you about Whistler Blackcomb's policy on climate change. What are your feelings? Do you think this is going to affect the ski industry?
Well, certainly, I guess to give the macro or big picture perspective, if I was having coffee with Kofi Annan this morning and asked him of the UN, what are the two most important things to focus on with respect to sustainability? His answer would probably be, well, let's first try to resolve global poverty, and number two, we'd better do something about climate change, or the world as we know it will likely be considerably different by mid-century. So we take climate change very, very seriously here at Whistler. This isn't something that's new on our agenda. Glaciers, which we have a number of surrounding the Whistler Blackcomb area, have been receding for over a century. And glaciers are the most sensitive ecosystem to temperature change. Essentially, they're nature's thermometer. So we've known for a long time that the climate has been warming, and consequently, we've been developing programs to both mitigate and adapt to climate change. So we've been preparing for this for several decades.
And I understand, just from looking at your website, that you've been undertaking some efforts to hold on to a glacier or two that you've got already?
That's correct. Horseman Glacier, which is part of our summer operations, believe it or not, we're skiing up to 10 months a year here. The Horseman Glacier has been receding like other glaciers in the area, and we've actually engineered, we have yet to be put in a position where we have to do it, but we have engineered a snowmaking system that would feed the accumulation zone or the top of the glacier to a degree that we could actually grow the glacier should we be required to. And one of the inputs we'd love to put into that system is to power it through wind generation, so essentially we can close the loop and it's a completely sustainable operation growing back a glacier. But that's a bit of a science project. The bigger picture is, again, that climate change is here and we need to do a number of actions to ensure our long-term viability as a ski area. So we've been investing considerable money into snowmaking, particularly at our lower elevations. That's where we are vulnerable. And over the next 3 years, we'll be spending over $25 million on snowmaking. And again, principally focused on the lower elevations. In terms of development, we've been placing our lifts more into our higher elevations. Despite the Whistler Valley being quite low in elevation, over 50% of Whistler Blackcomb's terrain is above treeline, above 5,500 feet. So we have a lot of opportunity to move more of our lifts into what we call the snow belt. And even 20, 30 years from now, there'll still be very significant snowpacks at those elevations. The third thing that we are focused on with respect to adapting to climate change, because we as a company cannot change the course of climate change, but we need to do our part in terms of mitigating, but again, adapting. We spend a lot of time in the summers doing what we call summer grooming, essentially making our ski runs, trails, flatter, profiling it in a way that we only require, let's say, 30 centimeters of snow to open a trail as opposed to a meter.
And one other thing they mentioned at Aspen is that they're actually now letting their guests know that climate change is upon us, and they're setting up a Save the Snow website, I believe. And you do have very some powerful and influential people come skiing at your resort as well. Are you going to let people know about climate change through the skiing experience?
Absolutely. We already are, being that we have glaciers within our operating area and surrounding us. It's the best testimony. A picture is 1,000 words, and we can show our guests, look at what climate change is doing. When we can show what the size of a glacier 30 years ago and the size of what it is today, and then it's reduced footprint, that's when the light's turned on. So we have this opportunity to be an advocate of enactment for climate change. But I think what is most important for Whistler Blackcomb is that we first show our guests, our community, and society at large what is possible in terms of reducing our fossil footprint. So we have a number of programs where we are what we call grabbing the low-hanging fruit, just simply changing our light bulbs to energy-efficient bulbs, putting timer sensors through all our facilities so we're only using energy when we need it, using the most fuel-efficient engines on our snow grooming fleet. We've been able to, just with good European Mercedes technology, we've reduced our fossil fuel consumption by 18% on all our snow grooming cats. And there's a number of technologies out there today that can help us reduce our footprint. And I think that's the best way of addressing the issue to the guest, is making them aware of the issues, but also showing that change is possible. So we need to be not only an educator, but a change agent.
You were telling me you have a couple of micro-generating projects going.
This is very important to us because we want to show other companies and society that it's possible to turn a corner quick on using cleaner energy. So we are working on a wind farm. At this point, we're just putting MET towers up to the meteorological towers to verify whether we have the wind supply available to economically be able to build a wind farm. One project that's much closer to reality is a micro hydro project in a river called the Fitzsimmons, which essentially flows between Whistler and Blackcomb, and it has the power availability, or the water supply rather, to produce what we consume as an operation. So it's about an $18 million project. It produces about 32 gigawatts annually. And that could happen within 18 months. The engineering is already in place. It is viable. So if we're able to bring that project to fruition, we're really demonstrating to our guest and to our community and society that a company, an operation, can quickly become sustainable within its own operating footprint. So we're excited about that. We certainly have some work ahead to get that done.
Well, that's the way we all have to go. And finally, I guess the big question on everyone's lips in the Lower Mainland area is, will there be snow for the 2010 Winter Olympics?
Absolutely, absolutely. The climate change, like science, is based on long-term trends. If you look at Whistler today, it looks like mid-January here, we're at about 1.7 meters of snowpack, but that's weather. The science, in terms of what the global science community has told us, is that the real threats are long-term, and by mid-century, unless society at large makes significant changes in our consumption behavior with fossil fuels, that's when we as a global community really start to run into trouble. And that's quite a ways out. The Olympics are 3 years away, so we're in good shape there.
So keep on skiing.
Keep on skiing.
All right. Well, thanks very much for talking with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
You can find out more about this resort's environment policy at whistlerblackcomb.com.